Yesterday we talked about the machlokas between the Rambam and Rabbeinu Yonah about the essence of tefillin. We saw that Rabbeinu Yonah, we talked about the different halachot of where a lot of people know they touch it. Chayav adam lamashmesh b'chol sha'a v'sha'a. And we talked about the difference between, first of all, this shir should be le'ili nishmas, my mother, le'ya bas Yosef. We talked about the difference when we're talking about why does somebody have to do that? What's the reason behind it? We had quoted the Prima Gadim yesterday that said that it's to make sure it's actually in the right place. But we saw machlokas between the Rambam and Rabbeinu Yonah to understand how often in the nature of just tefillin in itself. Because we saw just very briefly, and then I want to move on to a couple other ha'arot about tefillin for the hope of tefillin making our mitzvah observance that much better. But we saw that there is a halacha in the Gemara in Sukkah and Daf Chav Gimel that says that you can't sleep a shinas keva with your tefillin on, but you can take a base nap. You can take a shinas arai. You can sleep for like 15 minutes. And the question is why? Isn't there a halacha that says you can't have hesach hadas with your tefillin on? And Rabbeinu Yonah was mechadesh that we saw that the Rosh quoted that a hesach hadas is not just not thinking about the tefillin, but it's got to be an active, negative kalut rosh, a certain frivolous behavior that is a affront to the tefillin. So it's only when you're the minus, it's only when you're negative. You have negative kalut rosh, that's the problem of hesach hadas. As opposed to, and therefore he said that's why, for example, if you're sleeping, it's not a problem, you're just shocha chavlei olam, but it's not a problem of actually sleeping with your tefillin on. We had talked about other halachot that came up that the Rambam had said, and that the Rambam sheet and we saw, for example, the Gemara in later on, that had talked about the serious new need of gilu birada, of both being happy and trembling. And there, the Gemara brings a story, a couple part of the stories, but one of the stories that brought down was that Abaye was joking around too much in front of his Rebbe, Rabba. And Rabba said, you're joking around too much. And Abaye says, don't worry about it, I'm wearing tefillin. And the question is, what is this tefillin experience? So Rabbeinu Yonah, when he looked at it, Rabbeinu Yonah didn't understand that tefillin, obviously he thinks it's a mitzvah, but Rabbeinu Yonah looked at it as another mitzvah. He didn't see it as this transformative experience that as a result of being wearing the tefillin, you have to constantly touching it. Constantly, we had started off with that halacha of being a mashmish, to constantly touch it, to remind you to always be thinking there. He felt that the halacha was you touch it periodically, in order to make sure, ki'ilu, like a gzeira, to make sure that you don't come to start talking kalut rosh and start saying the wrong things while it's filling. As opposed to the Rambam, so therefore, the Rabbeinu Yonah, when he read that Gemara, he came up with another whole philosophy on simcha in this world. Rabbeinu Yonah, based on the Gemara, says that asur la'adam shimalei schok pinu ba'olam hazeh, because you're going to forget about the Ribbono Shel Olam. The only time you're allowed to have simcha is a simcha shel mitzvah. Not because of the Chorban Beit HaMikdash. I misspoke yesterday also. The idea was because that you were afraid that if you start becoming all so happy and joyous and full of laughter, you'll forget about the Ribbono Shel Olam. But he said the one exception is the simcha shel mitzvah. And he ends up describing that Gemara that Abaye says, chill out. And he said it with respectfully. You know, Kvod HaRav, don't worry. I'm not just being happy for no reason. I have, Rabbeinu Yonah said, and we learned this yesterday, Rabbeinu Yonah said that the reason I'm happy is because I've been sick for a couple days, have not been able to do the mitzvah of tefillin. Now I'm able to do the mitzvah, I'm happy. As opposed to the Rambam looked at this Gemara, and the Rambam understood, and we saw in other halachot also, that you touch the tefillin because you constantly have to be in that zone of tefillin, and that zone of Talmud Torah, and that zone of tefillah. And the Rambam would say that the reason why Abaye says don't worry about it because called menachat tefillin is that tefillin is this transformative experience. Because of its tremendous kedusha, that's the language of the Rambam that we did yesterday in Perek Gedalet, he says that automatically you're not anav and you're yorei shamayim. So what Abaye was telling him is, don't worry about it. The simcha and the appearance of my happiness is not something that's not emet. I'm totally there b'simcha. You had a question. Right, those are more. Those would be more of the minhagim that we do it at Poteach et Yadecho Maspia. Again, you could tie it into both of them, but definitely, I guess, with the Rabbeinu Yoni, you would say you dafka do it at Poteach et Yadecho. You know, those type of things where it's helping you focus on what you're supposed to be doing. Okay? The other nafkamina we saw is the Gemara in Brachot and Daf Yudal Amud Bet that said when a person reads Kriyat Shema without tefillin, the language of the Gemara is kilu meidei sheker ba'atzmo, and it's as if you've testified falsely about yourself because you're saying ukshartim lo tayadech and you don't have the tefillin on. We saw Rabbi Yona and the Machlok is there in the Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan had said and gave a mashal kilu hikriv a ola without and a zebach without nesachim, and we saw that Rabbi Yona just understood the machloket of within the realm of Kriyat Shema. Have you been yotzei the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema and there's some sort of separate avera because you're lying, or as opposed to the Rambam, when the Rambam saw this, the Rambam put this halacha in Hilchos Tefillin. We had said location, location, location. The Rambam was saying it's not just voodoo, it's not some sort of metaphysical idea you put on tefillin and all of a sudden, boom. There is that part that you understand what tefillin represents, which that's what I want to continue doing today. But the Rambam felt that part of that type of experience of tefillin is that it's not just a Kabbalat Omachut Shamayim experience. That's what Rabbeinu Yonah was saying. That not wearing tefillin is a chisaron in your Shema. Rambam was saying that no, saying Shema is part of your tefillin experience. It's part of understanding. And that's where I want to go a step further. And I said it's part of, to understand a little bit more about the tefillin, is the Rav Kook, when you always, again, as I said about location, this is where we're moving on from yesterday's shir. Rav Kook always looked at location. And Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook, Zatzal, said when his methodology in Parshanut is what's called Zugiyut. You'd always look at Parsha as units. So right now, part of Bo is part of the unit of Yitziat Mitzrayim. Right? That we started, you had Shemot and Vayera, and you have Bo and Beshalach. And the Bo, so it's part of the Yitziat Mitzrayim experience. And within that, after finishing the last mitzvah, talking about the Bechoros, Rav Kook viewed tefillin as Vaya la'ot al yadecho l'zikaron beninecha. Had a very unique view on what tefillin is. He viewed it as chirut. Tefillin is an expression of our freedom. And let me explain what it means. He quotes from a Gemara in that he quotes from the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah and Daf Chet Amud Bet, that when a Eved would go free, he would have what's called Atarotein Berashein. Okay? That they would go, they would eat, they would drink, they'd be happy, and they have some sort of crown on their head. That was a symbol of their freedom. And the whole idea of us coming out of Mitzrayim, Yitziat Mitzrayim, being done in step by step, just like you had by Yovel, and just like you had by Rosh Hashanah, the Rosh Hashanah of Yovel, and Yom Kippur of Yovel, you're not totally free, but it goes one step at a time. And part of that process of becoming free was this Atara Birosheim. And what Rav Kook explained is that this is our expression of Avadayim V'lo Avadim Avadim. And where we're tefillin, it's what I ended with yesterday. I ended with yesterday, according to Meiri, it's true, it's really the Prisha, is even in the tefillin. It's not even just that it's on our head. I had mentioned to you the Prisha that says that even the physical makeup of how the tefillin is made up is a representation, a manifestation of what tefillin represents. We had said yesterday that the tefillin is broken into four different slats on the Rosh, each parshia separate. Versus the yad, it's one long one. And one parsha. And we asked why. And the Prisha explained, because many of us daven from the Aron Scroll Siddur, and the Aron Scroll Siddur at the beginning says the proper kavanah we're supposed to have tefillin is that we are making ourselves mishuabad. We are making ourselves subservient to God. In what way? All of our thoughts and all of our senses. We say the word chushim. And the Prisha had said, and that's why it's in four different slats because there are four senses in our head, right? Help me out again. Smelling, hearing, seeing, and what I missed? Tasting. Versus the one of touching, which is in the yad. And we had said that that's, and this works in very well with the idea of what Rav Kook said. On one level, that we are now, as much as an expression of our freedom, it sounds like we all in the Western world, we think about freedom as I get to do whatever I want. Our freedom, we say, the Braita in the sixth parak of Pirkei Avot is Ein Charut El Charut, concept of Luchot Elokim were Charut. The Ten Commandments, the Ten Statements were hewed into the tablets. And there they learn how Al Tikrei Charut El Charut. Don't read it hewed, but freedom. That our freedom is what? Our freedom is being a person who's involved in Torah. And Torah, we know, is that expression. And that's why there's a very strong connection between Torah and Tefillin. Okay? That is our expression of freedom. I learned in 1993, there was a triangle that was taught to me by my Rebbe. I went to an American yeshiva, but the person, Or Yerushalayim, and there was an Israeli there. I didn't speak a word of Hebrew, coming out of MTA, not a word of Hebrew. But there was a tremendous rub that now, over 25 years later, I'm still close to. His name is Rav Futter, and he taught me this triangle that I teach for years. That expresses this idea of tefillin as not only as an expression of chirut. There's a triangle. The triangle, and it comes with the shoresh, yud tzadik resh. What is yud tzadik resh? The yetzer. So the yetzer is the inclination. So if you look at the triangle, you have three different variations of the yud tzadik resh. And you put it whichever way you want. You have the yotzer as God as the creator. You have yetzer as, let's say, the yetzer hara. And you have the yitzur, which is the creation. And you put it on a triangle, whichever way you want. The bottom line is, as opposed to the Western idea, I know yesterday was Martin Luther King, and I believe, and right. But as opposed to the John Locke of liberty, of I do whatever I want, right? And I know I'm talking to historians right in front of me also, right? But the idea of being able to be free, the Jewish way of freedom is, if you're a Yitzur, the more you come closer to the Yotzer, to God, the farther away you come from the Yetzer, and vice versa. If I decide I'm going to do whatever I want, whatever my Yetzer Hara says to me, so then I'm a slave to my Yetzer. There's no such thing as freedom, meaning in one sense. You're always an Eved. Question is, do you decide to be an Eved to yourself, to your Yetzer, or you decide to be an Eved Hashem? It's as simple as that. If you wanted to sum up in one word, what does it mean to be an Eved Hashem? The question is, how are you going to control, and what do you want to be doing? Tefillin is that expression. Tefillin is that expression of chirut. To go one step further with this freedom experience of tefillin, or of this experience of understanding what tefillin is supposed to be to us, I want to turn for a minute. Just it's a longer shir, but I want to turn just for a second to the brachot of tefillin. We know that depending on who you are, whether you're Ashkenazi or Sephardi, you might have one bracha or two brachot. Okay? What is it? What do Ashkenazim do? We make two brachot. We make the bracha of laniach tefillin, we make the bracha of al mitzvah tefillin. Right? In itself, that's strange. First of all, Sephardim don't do that. Sephardim do not make two brachot on it. And the truth is, the Sephardim seem to make more sense. The truth is, it's a machloket. We're not going to get into the whole Iyun Shir. I gave it as a Shir Kloli at the end when we were learning brachot last year. But just to focus on just this one point that hopefully, while we're learning Parshat HaShavua, a little bit about tefillin, it can help us understand it. So Gemara Brachos and Menachos about the opposite Gemaras, and how do you understand whether you're only supposed to be making the bracha? The Svaradim only make the bracha because the simple Pshat in the Gemara is only when you make a hefsik would you then make that second bracha. And the truth is, the Ashkenazic Minhag on two levels are problematic. Which is number one, most times when we have a Birchas HaMitzvah, we make one bracha. So very, very few times are there two brachot on one mitzvah. And we're going to talk about these exceptions right now. But normally you eat matzah. Okay, so again, it is a good example because HaMotzi is not on the mitzvah of Achilas Matzah. HaMotzi is the Lechem Mishnah for the Yantif on Pesach. Right, when you shake the lulav, you make Al Netilas Lulav. You make one bracha. Since when do we make two brachot? It's not my question. All the Achronim asked this question. Why am I making two brachot? That's A. B, even more so, is one of these minhagim that we were taught. Again, hopefully this is, when we started talking about it yesterday, I said hopefully this is a impetus. Anytime that you relearn things, it's not something, okay, I learned it when I was 18, 19, and that's it. Hopefully you continue recreating yourself and rebuilding when you're learning Torah also. So Tovira, okay, I learned tefillin. I know I put on tefillin. But you continue learning it. So one of the minhagim is you put on your tefillin shel rosh every single morning. You put it on, and then you say, Baruch Shem Kavod Ma'achuto Le'olam Va'ed. It's one of these very, very strange minhagim. Why do you do that? Right, so strange. Because you might have made a bracha batala. It's connected to our first question. I might have made a bracha batala. What does that mean, I might have made a bracha batala? Because there might be a machlok, and that's how what you're saying is how the Ramah and the Mishnah Berurah bring down. The Ramah says that since the whole idea of having a second bracha is not 100% clear, it's not clear. To be sure, we know that normally when you make a bracha levatala, Chazal instituted to say Baruch Shem Kavod Machutol Olam Vayed, which in itself is a machlokas rishonim. The mechanics, when I say, let's say I, you know, the bracha came flying out, then I realized, oops, I already made that bracha. So Chazal instructed us to say Baruch Shem Kavod Machutol Olam Vayed. The question is, mechanically, is that working like you're pressing the delete button? It's as if you didn't do anything wrong, or it's some sort of band-aid, meaning that you did something wrong, but at least what you've done is now you're taking that shame in vain and you're rectifying a little bit, because you're saying that shame I just said should be shame kibod machutol ilam ved. That's the machlokas we've shown him when you deal with when Masechet Shavuot. But here, again, it doesn't make sense. Chazal are telling me, if I'm an Ashkenazi Jew, to make two brachot. So Chazal tell us in Hilchot Tefillin I should put on my rosh, make sure it's set. Make the bracha of al mitzvah tefillin. Make sure not that it's not off. My kippah's not off, so I don't make a bracha without a kippah. Put it on. Then say Baruch Shem Kivar Machutol Olam Vayed. It's very strange. And that's why the Aruch HaShulchan really vociferously disagrees with the Ramah and says that in a halachic world, we usually don't do that. If we have a hachra that says we do these shtei brachot, there's got to be a different reason. So they answer both of these questions together and separately. First, the question of two brachot. So, one way to understand it is that the truth is, and it helps us understand it, that the second bracha, as much as we say al mitzvah tefillin, is actually not, and this is where a ton of achronim deal with this way, and deal with the same type of category of having two brachot in this way also, which means, what are other examples that you know? They might have two brachot. Can you think of other mitzvot? They might have two brachot. Menorah has like three brachot. Same type of idea. Good. Okay. Well, you have the third one, the Shechianu, but it's true. You have the Sha'as and Nisim. What else? What other brachot do you have? Think. Which one? Sukkah. Sukkah is interesting, meaning because you say Leishe Basukkah and what? Shechianu. So Shechianu itself is a whole nother sheer of understanding what the bracha of Shechianu is. That in itself is a good question, what Shechianu is. There's a three-way machlok, it's to understand when do we say Shechianu, different types of Shechianu. What? Kiddush. How do you have two bracha on Kiddush? That's interesting. Because you say Borei Pri HaGafen and you say that. That in itself is interesting also. How do you understand what the Borei Pri HaGafen is? That's more of a understanding what the nature of the Borei Pri HaGafen is. How about Birchas HaTorah? Right, you have that question whether you have three brachos or two brachos when you get married. Okay, you also have their very strange bracha by Brit Milah. You have you also have Asher Kidashon Svano Ala Milah, and then you have a whole bracha by the naming of Asher Kidash Yedid Beten. So all of these things of having two brachot, some achronim will say all those shev brachos. The whole machlokas itself to understand what shev brachos are, that's a machlokas. Also, same type of idea, what are shev brachos? It's not so clear what that is, that's a machlokas we've shown him also, which is always good when you're continuing learning to say, oh, now I understand what I'm doing. So hopefully now, through this year, you'll understand a little bit more. So the Taz and many, many other achronim say that the common denominator between all these brachot is we have one birchos hamitzvah. And then the second bracha in that series is always going to be a bircha shevach ve'odah. We have different types of brachos that Chazal told us. Okay? We have a bircha hamitzvah. We know we have a bircha sanenin. Right? And each brachot, each category of brachot, have different rules. Okay, you have Birchas Hanan. And now the question is, how much overlap how independent and how much is there any type of overlap in the categories? Again, as a machlokas rishon, meaning you have Birchas Hanan, and we say Shako before your coffee in the morning, right? Which has its rules, right? The Gemara Bracha says that you're stealing from God, from Knesset Yisrael. You have to do it before. That's Birchas Hanan. You also have what's called Birchas Shevach Vehoda, right? Giving praise, right? The whole question about Birchas HaShachar in the morning. What exactly is that? And you have Birchas HaMitzvah. Okay? So how the Taz and others understand all these group of mitzvot is that this second bracha is always what? It's a Birchas Shevach Vehoda. It's not a Birchas HaMitzvah. You have one mitzvah. And therefore, I'll give you one good example, possibly, of a nafkamina. Nafkamina would be, in theory, of like over last yasa. We'll get to it in a second. Which the Gemara and Pesachim and other places say that kol mitzvot, we learned in Sukkah at the beginning of the year also, Sukkah and Daf Mem, it says kol mitzvot mivarech aliyan over last yasa. And over, they say, what's the language of over? That over is before. And therefore, what do? You make the bracha before you actually do the action, right? You say the bracha of al netilat lulav, and that's the whole question about turning over the lulav, all the different concoctions that we have to do, netilat yadayim, all those different things come up. Do you do it before drawing or not? That might be true by the mitzvah, okay? But by bracha shevach v'odah, not. To the point there, therefore, so for example, we're going to stick with our tefillin case, the Aruch HaShulchan, for example, says that the second bracha of mitzvah's tefillin is not a birchas hamitzvah, but it's a birchas hoda. It's a bracha that the whole essence of saying asher kedishar mitzvah tzivanu al mitzvah tefillin is you're giving thanks to God for giving us this mitzvah that ties us, literally and figuratively, ties us to God. Okay? That's how the Aruch HaShulchan understands this mitzvah. Just to continue on with the Aruch HaShulchan, and then I'll tell you what Rav Soloveitchik said to put it all together. The Aruch HaShulchan said that since the nature of this second bracha, it's in Siman Chaf Hei, Sif Yud Gimel, he wants to say that the birchas mitzvah satil is the birchas hoda, that it's a mitzvah zu hakesher hagadol shemikasher et Yisrael la'avim shebashamayim laze anu mevarchim birchat hoda'a lehodaut la'ashem itbarach la'atov hazeh uviyot. Now, after this, he explains the other question we said. We had asked the question, what do we say in Baruch Shem Kevod Malchuto le'olam v'ad? He, in the previous sif in Yud Bet, he says, nira lefi ani uzda'ati, the minhag of saying Baruch Shem Kevod Malchuto le'olam v'ad is not like we've been taught. It's not because of a suffix bracha, but it's because of a tam acher. The tam acher, after asking the question like we had said, is as follows. That since the essence of tefillin is, as we have said, making the strong connection, it fits in very nicely within the Rambam's experience of the mitzvah of tefillin, is this, that you're in a different world, you're in a zone with God. He says that what is the ikar kesher that comes from God when we say the pasuk of Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Therefore, what happens, and we just had this at the end of Sefer Bereishit, where we had the whole Gemara between Yaakov and his sons, that the beginning where Bikesh Yaakov legalot et haketz, and what happened? Nistam, and he was afraid. That's why the Torah itself has no spaces there in Parsha Vayechi. If you're a Baal Kori, you know this. You can never find the beginning of Vayechi in Parsha because it's contiguous there without any breathing room. And Chazal and Gemara Pesachim Adaf Nun Vav explain that there's a quandary. Yaakov's in a quandary. He said just like grandfather and father had psulim in their children, so maybe the reason why God did not reveal to me the revelation is because I have a psul in my zari, in my children. And he said Shema Yisrael. So what did they all answer? All the sons answered Shema Yisrael, being Yaakov's name is Yisrael. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And he answered them Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuto Le'olam Vayed. That's where Chazal deal with that the Ribono Shel Olam had a quandary. What do we do? Because Yaakov in Torah Shebaal Peh said they had this Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuto Le'olam Vayed. But with Moshe Rabbeinu in the Torah Shebechtav, it only says Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So we, as a Pshara, we say it quietly, except for within the Malachim, because when we're on Yom Kippur, we're like Malachim, like the Gemara, the Malachim would say, we say Baruch Shem Kavod Malchut Olam Ved. Explains the Aruch HaShocha. Lachin Anu Omrim, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchut Olam Ved, just like Yaakov Avinu answered. B'shosh HaShvatim said Shema Yisrael, as he quotes the Gemara in Pesachim. And the idea is that this is the language of Tefillin, says the Aruch HaShocha. The Aruch HaShocha says language of Tefillin, as the Torah explains, is Lashon Plila, which is a oath or a dut. It's a testimony for everybody to see that the Shekhinah is dwelling on us and amongst us. And this is the Perush of Al Mitzvah Tefillin, that we say, thank you Hashem for connecting us and giving us, and we give this Shevach. And that's why at this point in this most awesome time, we would then say, Baruch Shem Kavod Machuto Le'olam Vayed. That's all according to a lot of Achronim and according to Aruch HaShulchan. There is a different Perush. There's a different Perush of why, of what is that second Bracha. The point is, the question really comes from the Shita of Rabbeinu Tam. The Shita of Rabbeinu Tam that had said that if you only had your Tefillin Shalrosh, you make two Brachot. Again, it comes back to that question, how do you make two Brachot on one Mitzvah? And here Rav Soloveitchik was Mechadesh, a whole new category that we said till now. We had said, we had started off, and it comes in very nicely with what we had said, which is, normally we had said that you have a type of Birchot HaMitzvah. That comes to the Birchot HaMitzvah, you make the Bracha, you make Bracha before you do the Mitzvah, that's called Over L'Asiyasan. And that's again, before eating the matzah, we say Al Achilas Matzah, and then we shake the matzah. We eat the matzah. That's the normal rule when it comes to Birchos HaMitzvah. Of Soloveitchik was Mechadesh, a whole second category. The second category of Birchos HaMitzvah, which is that it's not that you make the bracha and then you do the act, the pu'ulat HaMitzvah, but you make a bracha on a status change that you just had. You have a status change. And that's what he answers up all the different, again, the categories that we talked till now, which is, again, Brit Milah, which comes back to even getting married, all of those cases. And Rabbat act, what has happened, there's a new status. It's on the status change. It's on a whole evolution that has happened to you. So for example, before you got actually married Kiddush and you were single. Now all of a sudden you are now usher to every single person and you're just designated to your wife. Same thing comes with Brit Milah. Till now, before that you were an Arel. And now all of a sudden you become Nimol, and there's a lot of halachic ramifications that come with this. Same idea that as we had seen through the Rambam for sure, that with Tefillin there's a special Kiddusha Miuchedet. That when Tefillin happens, the Gemara says that when you don't, the language of the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah is that Karkafta Delo Monach Tefillin, a person, a skull, or a body that hasn't put on Tefillin, is considered a Poshea Yisrael Begufan. It's a very strong language. You're a poshea, negligent. And here, that's what Gemara Shani Yud Zayin, that there's a special onish in Gehenim. Rav Soloveitchik understood that there was this special Kedushas HaGuf. It wasn't just a stam mitzvah. There was a Kedushas HaGuf that happened as a result of wearing tefillin. And this is a whole status change that if you didn't put on tefillin, that you're losing your Kedushas HaGuf. And it could be that was special for the Rosh also, and that's what explained why Rabbeinu Tam was talking about the Rosh. This very much explained not only the other mitzvot, but explains again the mitzvah of tefillin, that we're able to, when we have this idea, it's not only the one of chayrus, of real freedom, this connection, but as we had said yesterday in the Rambam, there's a special Kedusha that happens as a result of wearing tefillin in the morning. That's very, very important, and that's why there are a lot of halachot that are associated. Bezran Hashem, as We will finish up the series tomorrow morning with a couple other insights, but hopefully as we continue going on, you'll be able, Bezrat Hashem, to really implement the mitzvah of tefillin as we continue being mechazek. So have a good morning. What'd you say? I don't know if, you know, it's like the Nesham Yisera, you know, that Shabbos is over, you lose it. You know, I'm not sure you lose it. I think you always have to continue building the Kedusha. I'm not sure if, like, I don't know how the Ribono Shlom's Cheshbonos work. Whether, like, when you do an Avera, he takes away Kedusha. I'll give you an example. Tomorrow, I'll start off this year where there's a, connected again to the Parsha, that the Gemara in Kedusha, based on our Parsha, says that there are mitzvot. That one of the mitzvot that help you b'schut this mitzvah, you come, you are tikanes l'Eretz Yisrael. B'schut the mitzvah of tefillin, you can come to Eretz Yisrael. Very strange. Why is it strange? Because especially what we just said, the mitzvah of tefillin is a kedusha, is a chovas ha'gavra l'abriut. It's a guf. And all of a sudden, it sounds to be some sort of connection to Eretz Yisrael. So back to your question, I don't know that if you take off, if you now do an Avera, all of a sudden that Kedusha is taken away. It's possible. It's possible that there's a separate, you know, storage box for the Kedusha Satfilin, and your Averas take away other Kedusha. Could be. I wouldn't recommend it. The truth is, there'd be Iker Hadin. We men would wear Tefillin all day. Truth is, you're in a yeshiva where the Rosh Yeshiva does wear Tefillin all day, which is the rest of the world views that we're not on the level to have the proper, pure intentions. But definitely, hopefully you'll train yourself. When I was younger, I used to always have gray hair. When I was younger, I never understood how people, you know, especially in camps, it's easier, you know, all of a sudden Aleinu comes and it's like a mitzvah, I say, don't write them, take off your tefillin to be the first one to breakfast. So here you don't have to worry about the breakfast, you don't have to be the first one out. But There's no mitzvah I say, you know, there's a halacha of keeping the tefillin on, dafka within that way, especially if you're not in a rush to keep your tefillin on. Definitely after davening, there's a special halacha of going yelchu mechayel chayel after you finish davening to sit down and learn for 2 minutes in the base midrash to keep your tefillin on for them. Very special to help you that way. So I don't think it's some sort of reparation. There's no therapy there. It's not our Christian way of confession that you sin and put on your tefillin. But I do think that definitely a certain preparation that comes that if you have doggies late at night and you stay up and you're very frum for the Super Bowl and you have doggies at 3 in the morning, you watch the kosher halftime show and all of a sudden you can't eat. There's a halacha that says, I'm not sure if it's Onus Rachmana Patrick because you put yourself in there, but there are halachot about wearing tefillin that way. Okay?
What's the favorite?